Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Let me tell you about a church member. Back in Michigan, before I came to Edmonton, my former church, we had a church member, and he used to work in the car industry, and he was in sales, and he was a really good salesman. One reason which made him a good salesman was he was very personable and personal, and he knew you relationally. At his job, he was working hard and he was making really good money. Now, but there was a problem. The culture at his work, it was not what he wanted to embrace. So case in point, every afternoon, 2 o'clock, his colleagues would say, "Hey, let's go." What they meant was they're going to go to a bar, starting at 2 every day, and they would drink. And then at 5, they would go to another location for another round. And while they're there, his colleagues, not my friend, but his colleagues, would pick on women, harass women. It just was not what he wanted to be part of. It gets worse. When he would go to conferences, his colleagues and he would meet up with their clients. And they would have dinner and drinks, more drinks. Now, we're not talking about a drink here and there, as in recreational drinking. His colleagues, they drank to get drunk. But afterwards, at the conference, the colleagues would take their clients to stripper joints. And my friend said, "Okay, that's it, no more." So he approached the supervisor. "Hey, I follow Jesus. And my values clash with the practice at workplace. So would it be okay if I did not participate in these activities and events?" He was told, "No, this is part of your job. Suck it up and do your work." Well, it was really hard for my friend. Long story short, at the end, after being shunned, yes, he got shunned and ridiculed by his own colleagues. They used to make fun of him, right? Because he was not doing what they were doing. Because my friend had convictions about the values of Jesus Christ. He was following Jesus, and that's why he felt the clash. He got a note from the company one day saying, "Hey, we're going to have to let you go. The reason being, you no longer fit into our culture at work." He got fired for following Jesus. He had two reactions. Number one, obviously, the natural response. He was very upset. Very upset. And he wanted to get even with his wrongdoers. Second reaction, it was towards Jesus Christ. "Lord, here I am being faithful to you. Here I am following you. Here I am upholding your kingdom values, and this is what I get?" Question to you. How would you have felt if you were in his shoe? Question to you. Have you, or are you now currently, facing any form of persecution or insult because you follow Jesus Christ? We are in this series called The Living Hope, as you can see behind me, Living Hope. We're going through the book of 1 Peter, and it's all about Christ, the risen Christ, becoming our living hope. And Peter is addressing, how does the living hope, Jesus Christ, give you hope, give you comfort and strength for you to overcome persecution, not because you're doing something wrong, but because you are doing the right thing. How do you overcome such persecution simply because you are following Jesus Christ? We'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Now, the passage starts with the word "finally." Peter is referring to, hey, don't forget what I just said previously. So let me just sum it up for you. All along, Peter was saying, hey, when you follow Jesus, you will face persecution. In fact, the whole book of 1 Peter was written by Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. It was written to Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, who were facing, you got it, persecution simply because they put their trust, hope in Jesus Christ. And that was the occasion. So previously, Peter said, when you follow Jesus, you will face persecution from the civil authority. When you follow Jesus Christ, you will face persecution from work authority. When you follow Jesus Christ, you will face persecution from your home arena. Like the wife became a follower of Christ, but the husband was not a Christian. There was a conflict. There was persecution. Okay? So now, Peter writes, finally, he's addressing everyone now. So before we read it, let me say a prayer. Join me. Risen Christ, you are our living hope. I pray now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, give us your living hope all the more poignantly. May we embrace you, Lord Jesus Christ. You suffered, therefore, we are willing to suffer. Anoint all of us now as we worship. In the name of Christ, amen. So let's go to the text. Hear the word of the Lord, 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and sees good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Let's read verse 17 together. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, the theme and the goal of this message is this. You are blessed to bless those who persecute you. You are blessed. And therefore, you are able to bless. And bless whom? Good people? Fun people? People that you like? No. People who persecute you. People who say insult. People who do evil towards you. You are able to bless them because you first are blessed. The word bless is one of the key words in this passage. Peter repeats it three times. First, in verse 9, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 14, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. So blessed is one of the key words. So for the remaining of the time, I want to unpack this theme. How are you blessed to bless those who persecute you? Number one. When you follow Jesus Christ, you will suffer. When you follow Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as the living hope, what's going to happen to you? You will suffer. The word suffer is another key word. Okay? Now, let me just empower you with this. My job is to not simply to give you fish, but teach you how to fish. When you are reading a passage in the Bible, and if the author has a word or thought or concept or phrase that he repeats, pay attention. When there is a repetition, pay attention, because that is a key word. So suffer, the word, is another key word. Verse 14, Peter writes, you should suffer for what is right. 17, it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So when you follow Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? Expect that you will suffer. It was just amazing to me as I was doing the research and the study and preparing the message. Just about everything Peter writes here is a reference to what he saw and heard Jesus saying and doing. Okay? Peter is recalling what he experienced from his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So case in point, Matthew 5. Peter must have remembered what the Lord Jesus said on the Sermon of Mount. At the Sermon of Mount, Matthew 5, verse 10. The words of Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Blessed are you when people falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Right there, right there. When you follow Jesus, you will face persecution because Christ himself was persecuted for preaching the kingdom of God, for doing the good deeds of the Lord. And for that, he suffered. And therefore, you should not expect, well, that's not going to happen to me. No, 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 no. Let Jesus remind you again. I am sure Peter thought of this when he wrote these words. John 15, the words of Jesus. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Friends, question to you. What did Jesus say? Because the world hated me, they will hate you also. Because the world persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If you follow me, if I'm your master, a servant is not greater than the master, and therefore what happened to me will happen to you. Some of you are saying, hey, that's not what I signed up for. I thought I was signing up for blessing, peace, joy, happiness. When I follow Jesus Christ, isn't that what's going to happen? Yes. But through the suffering. There's the glory. When you are pursuing glory, you get to the glory destination through the road of suffering. Is Jesus Christ promising an amazing life? Life filled with joy? Yes. Is he promising, hey, when you follow me, I am the life, the truth, and the way, and no one, everyone who comes to me will receive the living hope. Yes, yes, yes. But Christ never promised an easy life. He never promised everything will be a rosy road. Life is never a walk in the park. So we should expect and anticipate that which happened to Jesus should happen to us. Here's my question to me. And I hope you get what I'm saying. Victor, when you follow Jesus Christ, are you being persecuted? If the answer is no, why not? When you are following Jesus Christ, my friends, is there a cost? So I'm not talking about persecution as in you have to leave your place and you are being flogged and tortured and put to death. I'm not talking about that kind of persecution, even though that does happen today. There are millions of Christians who are persecuted in that fashion, tortured, tormented, even put to death, simply because they follow Jesus Christ. But for you who live in the North America, that's not likely, right? But then here's the question. Is there a cost for you to follow Jesus Christ? What is the cost? Is the cost about finances, because you put your faith in Jesus, because he is your provider? You worship the Lord with your offerings, first fruits, and then tithes, saying, I don't put my trust in money. I put my trust in the living hope, and therefore I want to prove it to myself that I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. So here is, and because of that financial giving, your lifestyle is different. That can be a cost. Before I move on, I just want you to think about this. If you're not being persecuted, if you're not paying the cost, are you actually following Jesus the way he wants you to follow him? So you're blessed to bless those who persecute you. First point, when you follow Jesus Christ, you will suffer. Number two, when you suffer for Jesus, bless your persecutors. When you suffer for Jesus' sake, bless those who do evil unto you. Verse 9, 1 Peter. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called. You are called to this. To what? To blessing those who persecute you, that you may inherit a blessing. That word bless, I was quite surprised when I did a word study as to what it actually literally means. You know, because when we use the word bless, oh, I sneeze, you say, God bless you. Oh, blessing to you, blessing to you. We don't really know what it means, but here's what it means literally. Two words put together in Greek. You, which means good, and loge, which means word, good word. That's what it means. So it sounds like eulogy, from which we get the English word eulogy, right? It's good word to speak well of, to praise somebody. So when you follow Jesus Christ, when people persecute you, what do? You bless them. How? With your words. Because let's be honest, when people insult you, when people do evil towards you, what is your immediate response? What is my natural tendency? To get even, right? You got that right. You hurt me, I hurt you. You insult me, I insult you. You do evil unto me, I do evil back to you. We even the score. But that's not the way of Jesus. He says, bless them. How? With your words first, because it's really hard to do any good in your behavior, in your action. That's really hard. And Christ is saying, start with your speech. It's interesting that Peter quotes Psalm 34 in verse 10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Right there. Whoever would love life and see good days, if since your life is blessing, you are blessed by Jesus Christ, here's what your life would look like. You are characterized by someone who never speaks deceitful speeches. You bless them with your words. And I'm sure Peter was remembering what Jesus said, according to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Listen to this. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks with what the heart is full of. Jesus is such an amazing teacher. He's saying, Victor, what you speak out of your mouth, guess where it's coming from? Whatever is stored up in your heart. So if you speak good things, like good words, if you speak blessings, that means you have blessing, good things stored up in your heart. And conversely, if you speak evil, if you speak insults, guess where that's coming from? Well, same place, same heart. Because the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So Christ is saying, when they persecute you, speak well of them. Because when you speak well of them, when you bless them, here's what's going to happen. Peter says, verse 11, They must turn from evil and do good. Do good. And they must seek peace and pursue it. Right there. After you bless your persecutors with words, you bless him with deeds. You do good deeds. And I really, really appreciate how Peter puts it. He says, pursue it. Pursue what? Doing the good deeds. To whom? For whom? Those who hate you. Those who have done evil unto you. But that's so hard. That's why you got to speak with your words. And then the next thing is with your behavior, action, with your deeds. And he says, pursue it. That word, pursue, I just love this description. It literally means to chase after. It's like a hunter chasing after a prey. It takes that much intentionality. It takes that much focus. Chasing after a prey. And that's what it takes. It can be done. It should be done. Because Jesus not only commands it, he gives you the power to do it. Quick illustration. Some years ago, this is when my son was about age 10, 9 or 10. So that's like 11 years ago. I picked him up from school in the afternoon, and I was taking him home on Anthony Henday, driving southbound, okay? And we were on the right lane, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. A woman, a lady in an SUV passes by, okay? And then she is giving us the universal gesture through the window, and she is saying something. I don't know what she was saying, but she looked really, really upset and mad. Like spit was coming out of her mouth. Here's the thing. I don't know what I did. I have no idea. You know what's worse about that? It's not the insult. It's not being mistreated. It's the fact that my son, age 10, he saw all of that being done to me and to him. Okay? And I felt so bad. And I felt mad. And I felt upset. And I felt this feeling emotion just brooding up within me. You know what that emotion is? Get even. I was about to chase after her, pursue her, and then return the favor with the universal gesture. And I was so wrong. I felt so wronged, not only for my sake, but for my son's sake. I literally wanted to ram her in the bumper. Now, but what did I do? What did I do? The Holy Spirit took over. So instead of doing all these retaliation, getting even with her, I said to her, she never heard me say it, but as we were driving, I said, using Jesus' own words, "Woman, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." Now, as soon as I said those words, I spoke what? Blessing. Good words. And all of a sudden, that anger and that fury just brooding within me, somehow, it subsided. I didn't do anything good in terms of buying her a gift card from Starbucks. But what I did do good was I didn't get even with her. And I always remember that. It was like a supernatural thing, just speaking, blessing her with words and then blessing her with deeds. So let's move on to the third point. So, you are blessed to bless those who persecute you. When you follow Jesus Christ, expect what? That you will suffer. Number two, when you face persecution, when you are suffered, bless those who do evil unto you. Three, because you are blessed, you can bless. Mm-hmm. You are blessed first. And that's why you bless. You are blessed to bless. It's not that if you do these things, if you obey these commands by your willpower, then you will be blessed. No. It's the reverse. Because I am blessed already, I can bless someone. You know, I often say this. You cannot give that which you don't have. You cannot give what you don't have. And you are blessed first, and that's why you are blessed first, then you bless others. And I think Peter gets it. When Peter was writing all these, like I said, he remembered what happened to him. What happened to him? What happened to him? Peter, when after Christ was arrested, taken into the court, he followed during the night, and he was warming himself at this fire. And someone said, "Hey, you there! You're one of his followers." You know what he said? Instead of blessing Jesus, he said, "Nope, I don't know him." Second time, another person said, "Hey, I remember you sitting with Jesus. You're one of his disciples." He says, "No, I'm not." He denied it second time. Third time, when someone says, "Hey, you have an accent, not Korean accent, Galilean accent. You are a follower of Jesus Christ." And then Peter says, "I'll be damned if I knew the guy. I don't know him." He put curse on himself. And by doing so, he put curse on Jesus. Instead of blessing Jesus with his words, he cursed him. Peter remembered all that. And he experienced grace because Jesus did not get even with him. Jesus did not retaliate evil with evil, insult with insult. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus in the garden, Peter took a sword and he struck one of the servants, but good thing he was a fisherman, not a servant. He missed the head and cut off the ear of the servant. Okay? To which Jesus says, "Hey, we do not do that. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Do not pay evil with evil." Jesus Christ fully embraced Peter. Jesus Christ blessed Peter upon his resurrection. Peter was one of the first persons that Jesus ministered to. And then he reinstated Peter. He says, "Hey, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." See, Peter experienced blessing from Jesus Christ, even though he deserved what? Insult and evil and retaliation. Instead, he got blessing. He got blessing. And that's why Peter is able to say these things. When people persecute you, do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. Bless them. Bless them. Let's go to the first verse, verse 8. You are blessed to bless. Listen, friends, let me read verse 8 first. "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." Peter is saying, now every one of you, when you follow Jesus, not if, you will face persecution. So he's saying, bless one another. How? Be like-minded. Be of one accord. Be one-minded. You are being persecuted. I'm suffering. We are. We have the mind of Jesus Christ. Be sympathetic. Hey, sympathize. I feel your pain. You feel my pain. And therefore, we come along one another and we support and encourage. Love one another. The word is phileo, from which we get the word Philadelphia. Brotherly love, sisterly love. Love them. How? By suffering together. Be compassionate. That really means, you will laugh at this, in the Greek language, it means have strong bowels. If people ask you, "Hey, what was the sermon about today?" "Oh, the preacher said, have good strong bowels." That's what it literally means, but it's referring to this. When you have a brother or sister who is being persecuted and then suffering for the name, for the sake of Jesus Christ, feel the visceral pain within. It's like having the pain in your organs. Be compassionate and humble. And friends, and the best place for you to work this out, live this out, is in your house church. What's a house church? A small, intimate body of Christ that is following Jesus, loving Jesus, leading people to Jesus. And when you do that in a house church, this is a perfect environment for you to say, hey, is anyone being persecuted? Am I suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ? I need you to have strong bowels for me. Feel my pain viscerally. And by so doing, we can overcome. Remember, you cannot give what you don't have. And that's why you receive God's blessing first, so that you may bless others. Verse 12. Peter is quoting Psalm 34. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, put that in a positive light. Because of Christ, what is God doing? His eyes are upon you. He's looking at you and looking over you. And what is he doing with his ear? He's listening. He's attentive to your prayer. And his face is shining upon you, shining towards you to bless you and to keep you. Let's conclude. You know, my friend back in Michigan. So he lost his job, right? He got ridiculed, shunned. He was really upset. He wanted to get even with them, but he didn't. And he was feeling really upset, saying, okay, this is what I get for following Jesus? Because I pursue Jesus, I get fired and lose my job? Well, the Lord, risen Christ, did find him another job. A job which he loves. The culture at his workplace is so much positive and life-giving, and he loves it. He loves it. He's not making the same level of income as he used to, about $30,000 less than what he used to make. But then I asked him a question. Hey, do you think you made the right choice? I mean, you know, 30 grand, that's a lot. Okay? You know what he said? He said, I wouldn't change a thing, Pastor V. I wouldn't change a thing. It was so worth it. And I got to realize that my faith in Jesus Christ, simply because I love him as my Lord and Savior, because I follow him as my Lord and Savior, as my living hope, I pay the cost. There was a cost involved, and for which I felt honored. I wouldn't change a thing. I am very, very blessed. His own words, blessed. I am very blessed to find this new place. Now, here's another amazing thing. All those colleagues of his from his previous work, you know, those who ridiculed him and, you know, shunned him and made fun of him, right? Okay. Now, they give him respect. They recognize, hey, this person acted out of conviction and values. Even though they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they respect this dude. They speak very highly of him. Let me just finish by reading this, the last section, verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Two applications. Number one, are you being persecuted for Jesus? Are you? Number two, is there a cost for you to follow Jesus today? Is there? Now, Jesus doesn't say, you might face persecution, The world might hate you when you follow me. No. Jesus says, when you follow me, the world will hate you. When you follow me, you will count the cost. So my question to you is, I'm not going to answer this for you. You have to do it for yourself. If there's no persecution, if there's no cost for you to follow Jesus Christ, is it because you are not fully embracing the cost? You're not fully embracing the values of Jesus Christ? Is it because you are you compromising? You answer that question. Let's pray. As we pray, I want to pray in the form of this reflection. Is there a promise for you to claim? Grace for you to claim? Yes, I receive the blessing of Jesus Christ. Number two, is there a sin to confess? I won't say anything about that. Number three, is there a challenge to accept? Is the risen Christ, your living hope, saying, follow me, deny yourself, pick up a cross daily, follow me, count the cost for my glory, for my kingdom, then great is your reward in heaven. We're becoming like Christ today. Heaven is not something, a place where we go after we die, but right now, the reward is ours. We are becoming like Christ through our own suffering for the sake of his glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of our suffering. You are worthy of our persecution. You are worthy for us to count the cost and say, though none go with me, I will still follow. Thank you, Lord. May your living hope continually bring us life. In your name we pray. Amen.